Well, we are in a series called Greatness, Just Live It. And today we are going to talk about worship with Coach Brian Elsasser. How you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm fine. Us sitting down here in North Carolina enjoying the week. It doesn't get better than this.
Man, it's great. I drove down all the way to North Carolina for this interview. So thanks for the invite. I appreciate it. But we're going to focus on worship today. When we worship, how we worship, it's so important. Now, when it comes to coaching, is it easy to worship winning and the game more than worshiping the creator who created the ability to win?
Well, I would say this. It's, in my opinion, I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of worshiping winning more than worshiping team goals, team accomplishments, how a team pulls together, how, you know, and how they work with each other and who they are on and off the field. And sometimes I believe we as coaches, we do rate winning higher than what overall team goals should be. It has been, I remember, I know a number of weeks ago, Rod Bachman was interviewed. One thing I remember early in my coaching career at Meadowbrook Christian, and this was before we won any ACA championships, when we just was, I will admit, I was kind of consumed with, you know, getting that. He says, you know, Brian, calls me coach. He said, coach, he says, I will tell you one. He says, once you get that first one, he goes, it might mean something a little bit different. And I will say he was so accurate in that statement. It was not about worshiping, let's have a trophy from this league or going to districts or whatever the case may be, but it was all about, it has really changed from that first time to what are we accomplishing as a team? What are we accomplishing as a unit? How are we coming together to be unified in one goal and one purpose?
How has worshiping the right things made you a better coach?
God has me focused on serving the young ladies, whether they're in sixth grade or 12th grade, no matter what their talent level is. And I'm still human. I'm sure I make many mistakes doing this, but my goal is to serve that student athlete, you know, and what can we do in building them up and allowing them to grow into the young women that God calls them, you know, to be. And in that whole concept, again, trying to work from a standpoint of let's focus on the team. Let's drop our pride. Let's drop our personal agendas. Because I'm a true believer that, you know, if we're going to reach our potential, we have to individually take our pride and our personal agenda away and focus on team goals.
So worshiping through service and through serving others is a great form of worship.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. We all love to win. But I have so often been able to take losses and disappointments that sometimes God uses those for a better lesson for all of us than what that, you know, what that win will be.
Yeah, what a great story. Now, do you have a closing story on something that you've seen when somebody worships the right thing as a result of maybe your coaching or your philosophy of coaching?
Well, boy, this happened already a number of years ago, and we have a number of those stories, but one that immediately comes to mind, there was a young lady by the name of Laura Klodnicki. She's now Laura Cox, and she was a team captain. She did a devotional for us on a Wednesday night, and this thought process sticks in my head. Her basic theme of the devotion is no matter what happens to us, whether it's soccer season or school or life in general, we're to find joy in the journey. And for whatever reason, that comment is like, wow. I mean, so often these student athletes, they teach me lessons. It's really, it's more that way than the other way. But that was a Wednesday night. On Saturday, this was about 43 minutes into our first game of the season. She unfortunately tore her ACL. She was our head captain, probably the best athlete on the team. She tore her ACL. She lost her entire soccer season. She lost basketball season. She lost track season. But you know what she did? She took that devotional from 4 days earlier, and she found joy in the journey of that injury. She continued to support her teammates. She continued to be there to basically help them and make them better players and people and continue to encourage them. and you know, I'm almost ashamed to say, is she handled it much better than I probably individually would have.
And you're entering your 13th year as coach.
Yeah, that is correct. You know, I'm feeble and can hardly get around the field, but until they kick me out, I'm going to try to do this, brother.
I'm not sure they are, because the lessons that you teach these young ladies year in and year out. Coach Brian Elsasser, thank you so much for joining us today and just giving us insight on how to worship and also be a successful coach as well.
I think we should go to the beach now.
I think we should just go.
All right, brother. Take care. Right, thank you so much.
Pretty excited about this particular topic as we talk about it today. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. As we're looking at this, there's quite a few things that you will hear. One of my favorite authors is A.W. Tozer. You're going to see lots of quotes from him today. He's written lots of things in regard to worship, and I really am very partial to those. So you'll get to know him pretty well through this particular message that I'm sharing. I'd like to share first that worship is, and as we look at it, what it means. It says, "But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now, Jesus is giving these words, and he's explaining them to the Samaritan woman. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. There was a lot of questions that were happening. Obviously, the Samaritans were kind of an outsider group, kind of a despised group. And so Jesus had met the Samaritan woman. He made a connection as far as conversation with her. It was pretty interesting as far as, if you read the whole passage, understand the dynamics of what was taking place. He was kind of crossing boundaries that ordinarily weren't crossed at that point. And so we see that happening. He reaches out. But she kind of asks some questions. He finds out, of course, that about her kind of sordid lifestyle that was a part. And then the whole thing comes to the point about where they're going to worship. And that's when Jesus says, the time is coming, and it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, so as we look at this, I want you to think about what that means, because this is the time he's referring to. Worship is to be experienced in spirit. So worship is to be experienced in spirit. That's part of what happens within us. So this Word of God became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So the Word, Jesus, became human and made his home among us. So we know that that was his purpose and plan from the very beginning. He came that he might dwell among us. In fact, God with us was known exactly as his name, and he would be Emmanuel, God with us. So we know that that was his point and purpose. And after he left the earth, then the Holy Spirit came to live in us. And so we understand that took on a whole different dimension when we talk about worship. And so the scripture in Corinthians tells us, don't you realize that your body is the temple? You see, Old Testament, there was a temple where the presence of God would dwell. And what do we see in the New Testament? This body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. And so this temple, this body, is where God dwells. And so his spirit comes and lives in us. So when we worship in spirit and communicating with the Father as a result. So worship is to be experienced in spirit and in truth. And so as we try to understand what that looks like, what that means, the best way for us to be able to see that is to see that what is truth? To truly worship God, we must understand who he is and what he has done, and the only place he has fully revealed himself in the Bible. Worship is an expression of our praise from the depths of our hearts toward a God who is understood through his word. If we do not have the truth of the Bible, we do not know God, and we cannot be truly worshiping. So for us to worship in truth, we have to know God's word. And so if we don't know God's word, we can't worship in truth. So we worship in spirit and in truth. That's what he's called us to. In spirit, because his Holy Spirit is living in us. See, unless you're born again, you can't really worship because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. So you can't worship in spirit. And unless you know the word of God, then you can't know truth. So you're not getting the full understanding of what it is to worship. And so there's an importance in our understanding. And that's why the scripture says, make them holy by your truth, teach them your word, which is truth. So we understand that the word is truth. And that means that you have to understand the word, use the word in your life, read it, understand it, or you can't know it as truth. And so he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when we know and understand the truth, we know that there's real freedom that comes as a result. So the more you know God's word, it doesn't become a burden, it becomes freedom. And that's what we have to keep focused on. And that's what he wants to teach each one of us as a result. Now, if we understand this, we're made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. So if we're made of three parts, body, soul, and spirit, there's an importance of understanding what they are. The body is our external shell. So it's just that outside part of us. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So there's the body, there's the soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. The spirit is the inner part of us that connects directly with God's spirit. So unless we are born again, have his spirit living in us, we can't directly connect with God's spirit. This is such an important part of for everyone to understand that we are body, soul, and spirit, because even in, like, let's say marriage, in the importance of getting married, we become one in body, soul, mind, will, and emotions. You learn more about each other as you grow. But if you don't have a spiritual connection, a third of you is missing in the relationship. And you can't build that strong relationship that you need if both of you are not believers. So there's an importance of making sure you're united to a believer. Now, scripture says it this way: praise the Lord, let my whole being, my body, soul, and spirit, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, body and soul. I will shout joyfully to the living God. So that's reinforcing the importance of scripturally of the whole person worshiping. Now, worship is not, let's understand what it is not. There's an importance in this. Matthew tells us in scriptures, Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. So, worship, he said, worship is a farce. Why is their worship a farce? Because their hearts are not in it. How many times do we come into worship, and our hearts aren't there? In fact, our mind isn't even close to being there. It's someplace far away. And so our worship becomes a farce, because we're just saying words, but not out of our heart connection. God calls us that real worship is not just saying words. singing songs, talking about God. It's much more. It's got to come out of the heart. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. Malachi, I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I will not accept your offerings. Why not? Because their hearts were not there. The sacrifice they were offering by God was considered worthless. Why? Because their hearts were far from God. And so what is the warning that comes to us? If we're going to worship, we need to put our heart into what we're saying. Scripture says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see things or see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. So your worship, everything that is a part of who you are and what you're offering to God, if your heart isn't in it, it's a farce. You've got to put your heart into worship. Now, worship is not one day a week, because whatever you worship on Sunday or the weekend, you better be worshiping Monday through Friday as well. It's not just one day a week. A.W. Tozer says this, if you're not worshiping God on Monday the way you did the day before, perhaps you're not worshiping him at all. So great importance of making sure we're consistent. I often hear people say, they say things like, you know, to be in my business, you can't tell the truth all the time. You have to just kind of color it. You have to, and people have told me, this is business. This is not the church. And I'm like, this is Christianity. This is being a Christian. This is God's word. Yeah, we can. You better do the same thing on Monday that you did on Sunday. There's an importance to make sure that your life is backing up exactly what is there. The psalmist says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. So it needs to be that ongoing process of keeping focused on God. Worship is not a single method or of bodily expression. And so as we think about that, sometimes we think worship is just certain things. And so we see somebody who maybe is very expressive in their worship. Their worship is like right out there, and they're very expressive. And we think, isn't that wonderful? They worship so much. And then we see somebody who you can't tell anything by their expression that they're there. And so we judge by the outward expression. God looks at the heart. That person that's doing all of this may not even be engaged in their heart. And the person that looks like they're not engaged at all may very well be very engaged in their heart. And that's why we have to be cautious about how we look at things from the outside. There's no rule for worship. We could sit, stand, fall down, be quiet, or sing or praise loudly. You can do all of those things and be part of worship. Scripture says it this way, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening offering. So yes, we can be physically engaged in that. I find myself that when I involve myself physically, it helps my brain to re-engage in it and think about what I'm doing. So for me, it's very helpful for me to be physically demonstrating my worship because it makes me have to focus on that a little bit more. Others may, maybe not, but you have to determine your own heart in worship, be engaged in worship by your heart. That makes the difference. Come, let us worship and bow down. That could be part. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So those are all forms of worship. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. And so maybe that's all a part of the worship that you're offering. Now, worship is not in one place. important for us to be able to look at that and see. It's not just in one place. It's not just when we gather together in our worship time or set aside. It's more than that. Revelation says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid, I am the first and the last. Whenever we see someone encounter God in the scriptures, they are in awe of God's presence. They're in awe of it. And so what our intent would be, excuse me, through worship, is to try to help people establish an awe for God. That would be so important. Now, the cathedrals that were built, you know, as we see all of those in the Middle Ages, and you see these gorgeous cathedrals. Well, the purpose of those and why they were built that way is because when the person came in, they were in awe of what they were seeing, and it helped them establish that as they came into the presence of God. The temple in the Old Testament was certainly one that would have drawn that same kind of awe in each of the persons as they came in and encountered God's presence. We're not in that era anymore, but I do think we've lost the awe. And I do think we need to seek how we can recreate the awe for God and the awe in our worship. And I think that's something that we can just kind of like keep like focusing on. Most times in Scripture, they fell on their knees when they encountered Jesus. We see their quick response happened. They were kind of awestruck by his presence. Now, worship comes directly from the heart and is evident to God. We talked a little bit about that before. Comes from the heart, it's evident to God. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? I love this particular quote. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. So when we try to be closer in unity to each other instead of closer to God and to Christ, then we can't actually be as in tune as we would be if we all tuned to Christ. So the more we all become like Jesus, the more unity forms around us. He also says, I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Anyone who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. So I think maybe we need to start learning how to worship. It's not just playing music. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the only way to worship him. So the way to worship God is to present, give our bodies to God because of all he has done. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. So I'm giving myself wholly to God. That's part of my worship, and that's part of the difference maker that it's going to be. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so as we're putting all that together, it's all part of worship. It's all part of understanding how he wants to work. So we were made to worship. Now, think about that. That's how God designed us. From the very beginning, the very inception, he designed us for worship. And we're going to worship something in our life. Whether it's God or your money, your recreation, your family, your resources, your education, your achievement, we're going to worship something, because that's the nature of how we were designed to worship. So you can fill that with whatever you want to fill it with, but we were designed to worship. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. We don't have to be afraid to worship together when we come together and worship and collectively, because it actually draws other people who don't know Christ to want to know him, because they see something fulfilled in you. That's when your heart is fully drawn in to worship. Because see, we're all designed for this. A.W. Tozer, once again, he says, we are saved to worship God. All that Christ has done in the past and all that he is doing now leads to this one end. So I was saved to worship. That's one of my primary purposes, one of my primary goals. And so when I begin to understand what it is to worship and how to offer myself to God and experience his presence in my spirit, that's when I start experiencing a real fulfillment. I can tell you there are times that I have been in God's presence and I've felt his presence in worship, and it's so sweet that I think I don't ever want to leave this spot. It's like so rich. And that's what he's created us for, because he created us to worship. Now, we must worship in all we do and wherever we are. So whatever we're doing, and that's not talking about, and when you think about it, I'm engaging body, mind, body, soul, and spirit. When I think about engaging all of that, then I have to think about what does that mean and how do I show that? Well, Corinthians says it this way, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So that's part of my worship, whatever I'm doing. Jesus taught essentially that we are portable sanctuaries. And if we're worshiping in spirit and in truth, we can take our sanctuary around with us. You see, this is the temple. He lives in this one. And so as I'm seeing, Jesus said, don't you see that if God is spirit, worship is spiritual, and anything spiritual has no location in space, it has no location in time. So wherever I am, I can worship. You do not get up in the morning, look at your calendar and say, this is the time to worship. You do not get up, go out, look around and say, this is the place to worship. You worship God now, anywhere, any place, anytime, because worship is spiritual. True worship will lead to a complete experience in Christ. So I want to know that complete experience of his presence in my life and what that means. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians, Paul tells us this. So whatever I'm going to do or whatever I'm going to say, it's part of my worship for God. Once again, without doubt, the emphasis in Christian teaching today should be on our worship. There's little danger that we shall become merely worshipers and neglect the practical implications of the gospel. So we don't have to worry about saying, I'm just becoming a worshiper, because no one can long worship God in spirit and in truth before the obligation to holy service becomes too strong to resist. Fellowship with God leads straight to obedience and good works. So because I have God in me, his spirit drives me to want to do something And I can't be satisfied not to do something. I want to do something. And it's just driving me to do that. So that is the divine order, and it can never be reversed. So I become a worshiper. I experience God in my spirit and his presence, and then it makes me want to go out and make a difference in the world that is around me. That's natural when I've connected with God, because I have his heart in my heart. True worship is a wholehearted celebration, a dialogue, and an offering. It's a celebration, a dialogue, and an offering. We're excited about celebrating what God has done. We're in dialogue with his spirit and our spirit, and we offer ourselves and all that we have fully to him. Jeremiah says it this way, I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. That means my heart is fully engaged in my worship. When we worship God, we celebrate him, we extol him, we sound his praises, we boast in him. We find our greatest joy when we discover how to fully worship. And so that means I'm going to have to be fully engaged in my heart. Maybe it means you need to prepare for worship before you come. Maybe you need to think about it. Maybe you just need some quiet time that's just going to go, I need to still myself before I can really come into God's presence. Because sometimes we just rush right into it. Sometimes we just need to be still to experience it. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross that he might make his people worshipers of God. That is why we were born. That is why we were born, that we might show forth the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is your Lord. Worship him. And we see that purpose worship when it is all over and the consummation has taken place and been fulfilled. The beasts, the elders, and the creatures under the sea, above the earth, and in the heavens are all crying aloud, Holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The purpose of God is that he might redeem us, to restore us again to the divine imperative of worship, to put us all in the heavenly choir and keep us there singing his praises and showing forth his excellencies while the ages roll. This is the purpose of God in redemption. So when we look at that and we think, what an incredible thing that God has done for us. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, used to say, if a church was on fire for God, people for miles would come to watch it burn. To paraphrase Booth, if believers experience the fire of God's worship, then lost people would be drawn to God like a moth to the flames. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest command. So for us to really worship God, we can't hold on to anything. We have to let him be first, be fully engaged in our heart to make sure our worship is acceptable to God. Let me pray with you. Father, our desire is that we would come to worship you and learn more how we can engage in worship, making that kind of impact and difference. Help us that we would set aside whatever would be distractions from worship, and we would engage ourselves fully in spirit and in truth. In spirit, that we would connect with your spirit and you would speak into our spirits, and that we would find that unity, that our spirit would be tuned to you in truth, that we would understand and hear your word and listen to it more and more, understanding how you want to use truth to help us to be drawn in a greater way to you. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Forgive us for the careless way we have worshiped, and help us to be fully engaged in heart, that what we offer would bring glory to you. In Christ's name, Amen. May God bless and go with you.
Hey, Church Online, it is great to be back with you for another weekend of worship together. And man, Pastor Brandon, what a wonderful time for us to just have dialogue about worshiping the Lord. And so for the next 3 hours, I wish we could keep the feed open, that we could just talk about how God has moved our hearts and right where you're at. So we just want to provide a time that wherever you're watching from, you can discuss this further. And really, I think in process, the discussion will enhance the worship in the words that you're sharing with one another. So Pastor Brandon, what was one of the takeaways from this weekend's message?
Yeah, Pastor Arley reminded me that we were created and our intentional purpose was to worship, but not just any type of worship. We are created to worship our almighty creator God. So when we worship other things, it's like we're a bunch of toothbrushes being used to eat food.
Right, yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
Bad purpose, we
miss our purpose.
Right, yeah, awesome. So I guess one of the things that stuck out to me is worship begins with a heart position, not our words, not our physical selves, although that can be an expression. And then, like, I looked up the opposite of the word awe, and the opposite of that is contempt, indifference, and despising things. So, like, you know, where might that be present, and does awe need to be cultivated, you know, in areas of my life? So we've got questions that we would love for you to just continue the discussion wherever you're at. You can do it with the people that are watching with you in the room, or text some friends, FaceTime some friends, whatever it is, you can answer in the chat. But this is a section where we want to give you some things in the chat or where you're at. Let's jump into some discussion.
Yeah, the first one is in the chat. Pastor Arley mentioned his favorite author was A.W. Tozer. Mm. So we want to know, who is your favorite author? Mine would probably be Dr. Seuss. He's pretty good. He's very profound,
actually. I've heard you read All the Places You'll Go. Number two, heart prep. How can you prepare your heart to worship with better connectedness? So what are some things Pastor Arley mentioned about coming into worship? And so, like, maybe even before the weekend worship experience starts, what are some ways to prepare your heart? Maybe think about the environment, distractions that could keep your heart from really connecting with and hearing from God.
It's so important.
Yeah.
An intentional worship. Pick a day and time other than your worship experience today to worship. Just put it on your schedule. Just personal worship. I love listening to worship. I have a worship playlist on my YouTube, and I listen to it when I'm alone after I put Brinkley to bed, and I just worship right there in my living room.
Yeah, so like Tuesday afternoon, Thursday night, what will you do to worship in a time other than the weekend worship time? And then the next one is this. There are things about God that cause your heart to leap or bow in worship. What are they? What are the things about who God is and what he's done for you that cause your heart to worship? Share that with those around you.
Yeah, and there's going to be a link that you can click on. It's groupleaders.org. It's Sacred Pathways Assessment. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, so this is a way, in the message, Pastor Arley talked about how we express our worship differently. And so this assessment would kind of guide you through some potential ways, like maybe you connect with God through the outdoors or liturgy, you know, kind of the process or something, you know, within the spectrum. So take a moment and fill that out, and that can kind of help you to maybe understand some of the ways that you would worship God most and best.
Yeah, I took that test, and I actually operate in my worship better outdoors in God's creation.
Yeah, a naturalist is what that would come up as.
Right. And we just want to remind you, if you want any information about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, text right now, I choose Jesus, at 88202. 88202, I choose Jesus, to learn more about how you can be in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
It is so great to be with you. This is a moment made for worshiping, and so are the ones that follow. God bless you.
God bless you.